that have been able to join us this morning. I'm thankful that we do have technology that makes that possible, because I need the encouragement of others and the encouragement of God's Word. Today is Easter, different Easter. This first Easter I haven't actually been in church, but I am in church. I am preaching from the pulpit where I always do, and I just imagine your smiling faces where they would normally be. But I don't think I've ever missed a church service on Easter in 60 years, and so this is very different. But the celebration is still the same. This weekend we celebrate the greatest events in all of human history, the events to which all of creation was looking, and that is the full salvation of both body and soul was accomplished. The power and the guilt of sin was removed at the cross just days earlier. This Easter morning, the power and the fear of death was defeated. And how important that is right now, because we all have a fear of death. And yet, that fear of death, while not completely removed, was greatly defeated with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus arose from the grave in a resurrected body. His resurrection proved he was the Son of God. And also, it proved that he gave us the promise of and hope of eternal life and victory over death. He proved that to be true. Because what he promised us was not just life, not just not to die, but he promised us that we would have a life without end in a resurrected body, in a new heaven, a new earth, everything recreated, everything new, in a new heaven and a new earth. Going to be no more wickedness, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin of any kind, no more evil of any kind. Amen? Let's contemplate on that. I know we got lots of current events going on. There's lots of things flashing around. But I want us to focus this morning on what God has provided for us in this salvation. God, in His great wisdom, provided everything we need for this life in salvation. And yet, this life is just a wee little bit of what He's done for us in salvation. What He's really done for us is give us the opportunity to remove the curse of sin, which is sickness and suffering and death, to remove that forever and ever, live in a perfect place, in a perfect body, where there is no sin, where there is no evil, where there is no wickedness, where there is no suffering, forever and ever, in a real body, in a real place. We cannot even imagine that. Our minds can't really take that in. We can't even imagine what that will be. Let's turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, for our text this morning. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the leaven, and unto all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. Now this is the account the women were heading to Jesus' tomb to be able to put spices on his body. They didn't embalm as we do today, but they put spices on the body to help preserve for a while. And when they got there, the stone that covered the entrance had been rolled away. And they went inside, and Jesus' body was not there. And they were confused, and as they were, two angels appeared to them and said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He told you he was going to rise again. He told you this would happen." So they ran back, told the apostles and the others who didn't believe them. And then the apostle, well, at least Peter, and then we're told also another place, John, ran to the grave to see for themselves. And when they seen, they departed wondering at that which had come to pass. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, after 3 days, this is not a resuscitation. It's not just a, you know, like somebody has a heart attack or something and you pump and they come back to life. This was a resurrection. He was really dead. They made sure he was really dead. And enough time had passed that it wasn't just that he revived, but he was resurrected from the dead. This is a fact that many today try and discredit. They try and discredit even more than the crucifixion. It wasn't something the disciples made up. Amen. They had a hard time believing what was going on. It wasn't something done in a corner. There was many people that seen Jesus after his resurrection. Acts 1 and 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So they seen him for 40 days after his death. He appeared to them at different times and different places and talked to them. Paul summarizes it this way, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he is seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Jesus was around for 40 days. He was seen by all the apostles, by his brother James. He was seen by others. In fact, he said he was seen by 500 of them at once, most of which, by the writing of 1 Corinthians, were still alive. The proof, and I read all that to say, the proof of his resurrection is really beyond doubt, except for those that refuse to believe. The evidence is there. Nothing else can account for the transformation of the disciples. They went from fleeing deserters to being bold unto death. I mean, they went from running into the night afraid, went back to their business, went back to their trades. They went from that to being bold to even face the death of martyrdom. Nothing else can account for the power of the gospel in the early morning church. Even though it was persecuted, it overcame the greatest power on earth. Jesus' giving of himself showed us his love. It vividly revealed the love of God to us. It vividly revealed God's desire to be in right relationship with us. Both the power and the guilt of sin was removed at the cross. The guilt of sin was removed because Jesus, who had no sin, died in our place for our sins. So justice was satisfied. The power of sin was removed at the cross in that it demonstrated his love to us, that we can love him in return. The power of love is stronger than the fear of death. The power of love is stronger than our selfishness. Amen. So both the power and the guilt of sin were removed at the cross. This Easter morning, the power and fear of death was defeated. That's something we need because death looms ahead of all of us. Amen? Yet we need not fear it in the same way that ones who don't have this hope fear. Because for us, it's just a transformation from one life to another. Jesus' resurrection from the dead validated who He really was. It validated that He was indeed the Son of God, that He was indeed the great Creator, that He had the power over all things, including death. Amen? His resurrection from the dead gives us hope of eternal life. Eternal life is a Christian hope. That's really the Christian hope. Eternal life, the Christian hope isn't necessarily peace on earth. The Christian hope isn't necessarily just getting along. The Christian hope isn't just to make our life better here. The real promise, the real reward of this Christian life is eternal life. That's the real Christian hope. When Jesus came, He preached eternal life. That was the hope that He held out to all. John 3 and 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. You know, when Jesus was trying to comfort His disciples and trying to prepare them for His departure that was at hand, when He was talking to them, that's how He comforted them. John 14 and 1, He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus knew how unsettling His death would be, but His promise to them was that they would be given eternal life and spend eternity with Him. This hope of eternal life is one of our motivations to a holy life. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' resurrection that we celebrate today is referred to as being a first fruit, which means what He experienced in His resurrection is the hope that's held out to us that we also will experience a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. That last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This hope of eternal life is not just to have an existence. Our hope is the bodily resurrection that Jesus Christ experienced. A real physical human body. Luke 24 and 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And when they told what things that were done in the way and how He was known to them in breaking of bread, and as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it's I. Handle me, see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. When He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, and said unto them, have you here any meat? And they took Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat it. Jesus wanted to prove to them, hey, he was really him. Not a ghost, not a spirit, not just floating around, but a real body. We also, our hope of the resurrection is a real bodily resurrection. We'll have a real body. Now, it's different because this body we now have is perishable, but it doesn't make it any less real. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body, as he has chosen, to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What's sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there's also a spiritual body. So Paul's saying, hey, it's a real body. It's different. We can understand that because not everything's the same here. Things are different. We're going to have a real body. We don't know what that is, but when we have it, it'll be what Jesus had on the day of his resurrection. 1 John 3:2 says, behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not only do we look forward to a new body, but we look for a new home, a new creation, pure, unblemished by sin or corruption. 2 Peter 3:11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not only do we look forward to a body that doesn't grow old, doesn't grow sick, is imperishable, but we look forward to a place for that body, perfectly suited for it. In fact, all of creation looks forward to this recreation. Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we have hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. Paul's telling us that all creation, since it was subjected to the curse of sin and the fall of Adam, has been looking forward, along with all of us, has been looking for this recreation where the curse of sin is taken away. It's going to be a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more getting old, no more pandemics, no more coronavirus. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give with unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all these things. I'll be his God. He shall be my son, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is what we celebrate this morning, folks. This is the real hope of salvation. Our Savior is risen. Jesus Christ came into this world. The plan of salvation from the foundation of the world. He came into this world to show us his love, to die a cruel death on the cross in payment for our sins, so that he might justify us. That means by his death forgive our sins, but also show us his love that we can be brought into right relationship with him, not only for now, but for all eternity. That means time without end. Amen? What we celebrate this morning is proof of that. Jesus' death would have been one thing. Lots of people died. But the fact that he rose again after 3 days validated everything that he had taught, everything that God had revealed, and especially his promise of eternal life. Jesus Christ is alive today. That's not a figurative saying. The man, Jesus, the human being born to Mary and Joseph, that man, physical human being, is alive today as the Son of God. He lives and makes intercession for us, but there's coming a day when we're all going to be in our new bodies, in the new heaven, new earth, in a place suited especially for those new bodies, where Jesus himself physically will be there, and all who know him, to enjoy his love, his presence, his goodness, in a perfect place, life without end, where you never get tired, you never get old, you never get sick, you don't have to worry about your money, you don't have to worry about working, a perfect place. For those who love the Lord have gone before us, we'll meet him again and not be separated anymore. This is the promise of salvation, folks. Keep it in perspective. There's lots of things to be worried about today, a lot of temporal things to be worried about. But if you keep this in proper perspective, this so outweighs everything else in life. You want to make sure you don't miss it. You want to make sure as many of our loved ones and neighbors as we can affect don't miss it and will be there. He proved his promise of eternal life by his resurrection today. Celebrate it. That's why it's so appropriate that it's spring. The flowers coming up, new life, they're blooming already. How appropriate. It should remind us that there's coming a morning where the sun comes up and never goes down. There's coming a morning where this will all be done, but we won't be done. We will be with him, real bodies, real place, perfect forever and ever. Take comfort. Take hope. Embrace the love God has shown to us in providing this salvation. Rejoice in it today. I know we're under, supposed to be quarantined, supposed to be locked down. Well, hey, You should have already planned your Sunday for God. And what a beautiful day to be able to meditate on these things. Let your mind think about what it's going to be like to be able to see all your loved ones that's already gone. And I don't think everybody's going to be young or old the way they died. I think everybody's going to be in perfect health. In fact, I know they'll be in perfect health. What a blessing to be able to enjoy each other's company and the company of all the saints and the company of Jesus Christ in a perfect place where there's never any more worries forever and ever. Tell you what, nothing more important than making sure your kids and grandkids know the truth that they make heaven their home. Nothing more important than letting your loved ones know around you. This is what really matters, is making heaven our home. Amen? May God bless you. I pray God bless you richly throughout the day. Again, thank you for being with us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you especially for this hope of life, the hope of eternal life that you've given to each one of us. If we accept by faith your death in our stead, if we accept by faith this great salvation, come into a real and living relationship with you, maintain that relationship with you, harmony with you, so that we might spend all of eternity with you. I pray you'll awaken our hearts to spiritual realities. Help these spiritual realities outweigh the worries and concerns that we're faced with and will be faced with again tomorrow morning. But take time today that we would rejoice in you. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen.